Can schools discriminate against pro-life clubs? Well, unfortunately, some of them are, despite the Supreme Court ruling of Mergens in 1980, which allowed for the equal access on public school campuses. It allowed for Christian clubs, for example, and certainly pro-life clubs would fit within that category. Joining us to talk about this right now is Jocelyn Floyd with the Thomas More Society, which fights for the rights of Christians and others for religious liberty, including in the public schools. Jocelyn, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so tell us about some conflicts going on. I guess it's in Las Vegas right now, Nevada, but it's going on in reference to some of these pro-life clubs.
Well, actually, in Vegas, we have a victory at the moment to announce.
Good.
What's been happening is that we have students in high schools across the country. We are the National Council for Students for Life of America. So when their students go and try and start clubs at their high schools, they get pushback from the administration. Almost every single time, the administration will have some sort of reason that they deny the club or say, no, you can't apply for the club. The top reason that they like to cite is that the club is controversial. The problem with that reason is that, as you mentioned with the Supreme Court case in Mergens, which interprets the Equal Access Act, which is a federal statute, schools may not discriminate against clubs based on their content, whether that be religious, political, philosophical, or any other content. As long as they have one non-curriculum related club on campus, they have to allow all non-curriculum related clubs equally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we get involved. Sometimes we work behind the scenes with the students to help them work with their administration. Sometimes it comes to the point where we send what's known as a demand letter that explains to the school, here's what the law says, here's what you did, here's why this violates the law, please approve their club. And what happened in Vegas is that demand letter did not get a response. We've been successful. Every other school we've sent a demand letter to, we've been able to get the clubs approved without needing litigation. And what happened with this Las Vegas school district is that we filed a lawsuit against them in the middle of August. And as a result of that lawsuit, the district, the council for the school district has reached out to us, and we are in the process of settlement negotiations to dismiss the lawsuit. And as part of that, as of this past Monday, the 31st of August, Angelique Clark's club is officially approved.
Hmm. Well, congratulations. I suppose one of the key elements here is that you're charging these schools or the school districts with viewpoint discrimination. Is that kind of, one of the main points?
Both viewpoint and content discrimination. It's viewpoint in that they don't want the pro-life message on there. But some of them will also say, if we allow a pro-life club, then we will have to allow a pro-choice club. And so that means they're not discriminating against the life viewpoint. They're discriminating against the content. They don't want anyone talking about abortion.
Mm-hmm. All right. What are these pro-life clubs like, by the way? I mean, what do they actually do when they meet and so forth?
They're student-led, so they're all unique based on the students that participate. Some are small. Some, we have a school in California that had over 200 students sign up to the petition to even start the club. But we have others that are as small as, you know, 4, 6, 10 students. So a lot of what their goals are that they share in common is that they want to educate their peers on the science and the reality of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But they also want to offer a message of hope to their fellow students who are facing crisis pregnancies. The common refrain from women who've had abortions is that they thought it was their only choice. They felt like they had no other option. And so what Students for Life of America and these student clubs are trying to do is really form partnerships with and educate about the pregnancy resource centers that are available in their area that offer other options, that offer other information. And then a lot of times they'll also do fundraisers. They'll do diaper drives and bottle drives and raise money and supplies for these pregnancy resource centers to help support them in their efforts to support the women who choose to keep their babies.
Hmm. All right, very good. By the way, have any of these clubs, to your knowledge, now that we're learning about the Planned Parenthood videos and the amazing information that's coming out of these harvesting of body parts and so forth of unborn babies. Here, on the one hand, Planned Parenthood says, well, you know, these babies or unborn babies, they're just fetuses and they're just blobs of tissue. They're just products of conception. Oh, by the way, we can make a lot of money if we're careful in how we abort these babies to make sure we can sell their livers, their lungs, their hearts. I mean, it's so barbaric. Are any of these clubs showing some of these exposés?
I don't know at the moment. The school has just started. All these videos, this whole thing,
Yeah, it all broke this summer.
It broke over the course of the summer, and it's exploded. And so now there's so much information out there. I would expect that a lot of the students are going to want to take that information and share it on their campus, especially in light of the fact that the liberal media has been relatively quiet in their coverage of the videos. They're starting to give more coverage as they keep releasing more videos. But
that's news to me. That's news to me. It seems to me that the media has been very derelict overall. I mean, for example, you just compare the dentist who hunted a lion and tweeted or whatever, had a picture with him and the lion that he killed in Africa, compared to the pro-life videos, which did not get that much attention from the mainstream media, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's something that I think is important for those of us who have heard that message and who have, you know, found it through the conservative media, the Christian media, the pro-life media, to make sure that we share that information with the people in our lives who might not have heard about it, because the information in these videos is, as you pointed out, it's detailed and it's graphic. And I think there might be some issues in the school system if they want to show the actual videos at school. They might, the schools might have some sort of claim that it's too graphic for on-campus activity, but they can definitely bring a lot of that information into some sort of presentation, some sort of literature, to spread this message among their peers at school who may never heard of it or may have heard of it but just blown it off as, you know, Planned Parenthood has been consistently saying that the videos have been edited deceptively, they're not accurate, and that has been rebutted over and over. They've released the full video. They've, Planned Parenthood submitted an analysis of the video to say why it's deceptive, and the Center for Medical Progress submitted a rebuttal to Congress showing how it was not deceptive the way Planned Parenthood tried to claim it was. So there's people who are willing to accept Planned Parenthood at face value on those claims they've made and haven't heard about the rebuttals and haven't given it a fair chance to look at the information. So this is actually an amazing time for these student clubs to be forming and acting, because there's so much information out there that just goes against the party lines that the media and the schools have been feeding these teenagers for years. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity for these students to really make a difference.
Mm, good point. How many pro-life clubs are there around the country?
Well, Students for Life of America has about somewhere around 300. There may be other pro-life clubs.
These are usually just in high schools. Is that right? Usually in high schools?
Well, Students for Life of America actually started out in the university arena. Okay. And so they have over 800 clubs total. In the university, they've started expanding both post university to the medical schools and the law schools, as well as pre-university to the high schools. So there's there's a large number of clubs around the country, and some of these that we get, they're students who actually are starting to form clubs and running into problems with their administration, and once they run into that problem,
that's when they call you.
And that's when they find Students for Life of America, who then connects them with us.
Right.
So there may be more pro-life clubs out there than we know of that we don't actually know the numbers because they aren't officially connected with Students for Life of America or with us at the Thomas More Society.
And what is the Thomas More Society?
We are a not-for-profit law firm. We operate out of Chicago, but we do cases all over the country, and we work to defend life, family, and religious liberty in the law. So we do a lot of pro-life cases, free speech as it relates to pro-life, religious liberty as it relates to these issues of family and life.
Isn't there another Christian legal group called Thomas More as well? I suppose that can be confusing.
There's another one in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Also,
and they are also a pro-life firm, and they do religious liberty as well. We are not officially affiliated with them, but we do have a lot of overlap in the types of cases we take. Yes.
Okay. So recapping our top story, the public school administrators and superintendents and so forth that try to discriminate against the pro-life clubs, if they have any kind of club on their campus related to anything political or something like that, any civic type club, you know, in other words, after school hours, that kind of thing, they can't discriminate if a pro-life group says we'd like to have a Students for Life club on our campus as well. Is that right?
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be political. The standard that was set by the Equal Access Act and interpreted by the Supreme Court in Mergens is non-curriculum related. And the standard to be curriculum related is very high. It is things that are directly tied to actual classes the school teaches. So, for example, the Supreme Court said, you have swimming in PE, great. Your scuba diving club is not actually taught in that class. They don't teach scuba diving, so your scuba diving club is non-curriculum related. So this school, for example, in Vegas, the West Career and Technical Academy, they have a gay straight alliance. They have an anime club. They have a key club.
What's an anime?
Anime club.
What is that?
Anime is a Japanese comic video style.
Okay.
So it's just people who like reading those comics and watching those. I don't know. There's some movies and there's some shorter, more serial, like cartoon episodes. And so it's just people getting together who like anime and want to watch it together and talk about it. And so it doesn't even have to be political or controversial. The fact that they have a non-curriculum related club, which anime certainly is, means they have to allow all the other non-curriculum related clubs without discrimination.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us. Again, it's thomasmoresociety.org, correct?
Yes.
For more information. Any closing thoughts?
We would just want to say in this Vegas situation, we are very grateful to the administration of the school for their willingness to work with us and approve her club and clarify the regulations at their school so this doesn't happen again.
All right, Jocelyn Floyd with the Thomas More Society. Thanks for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.